لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا صلوات. And then we took the covenant of Bani Israel not to worship anyone but Allah, and to do good and dutiful and nice behavior to the parents. In the last speech, we have been discussing the subject of the uquq of walidain, becoming aq of the parents. And there are some more points remaining regarding the same discussion that I would like to cover tonight, and then we'll move forward starting from tomorrow about some other things. Like I already informed you that in Islam, becoming aq from the parents does not require them to express verbally, but simple disobedience also entitles a person to become aq. And we have a hadith from Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam where he says that the minimum level of becoming aq from your parents is that you say uff to them. I already explained the word uff, a feeling of distress or getting tired or frustrated towards them. Any word of this sort of distress. And to raise your voice and shout and yell over your parents. Those children who yell over their parents, Imam Jawad alayhi salam says, this is the minimum level of becoming aq. And the third point is disobedience to their commands, which also makes a person aq from his parents. And of the most superior, أفضل الإنفاقات, the most superior, which all this discussion also falls under the discussion of becoming aq, is that in Islam the most superior of the helps that we provide to anything or any cause or anybody is the infaq done towards the parents. And especially our scholars have said that if your father is muhtaj, he deserves, he needs your help, it is the most superior of all the donations you can ever give. Help your father, especially if he is muhtaj, although even if he is not muhtaj, helping is considered to be a duty on us, but especially when we find that the father needs the help. Imam Sajjad al-Islam has said that asluka min abika, your asl, your root, your foundation is from your father. That's why they usually call father as the metaphorically, majazan, metaphorically he's your creator, because you are created through him. So asluka min abik, and our fuqaha, when they talk about the matter of money, they say that the father is the malik and owner of the tilk of all the amwal of the son. Whatever you own, whatever you may own in your life, your father is the owner of all of your amwal as well. Malik al-Tilq in Arabic. In our fiqh, we call it Malik of the Tilq of Amwal. So, he owns all that you own, or whatever you have belongs to him as well. No son can say, well, this is mine, and this is Islam. Everything that you earn, your father has every right to take anything out of your money without seeking your permission, because he's your father. Malik of the tilk of the amwal of his son. He has a superior right over the son. And we find that a very Amr ibn Jundub was a very rich man in the time of the Prophet, and he came and asked the Holy Prophet about يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَعَذَا يُنْفِقُونَ, where should I spend my money? And Prophet replied that the first of the infaq starts with doing towards your parents. That's how you should start doing it. When you want to start giving donations to somebody, first help your parents. Take care of all of their needs first. Then comes the turn of your close relatives, aqrabeen, zahil arham, those who are your relatives. And later on, it's the turn of all the rest of the Islamic projects or Islamic, your fellow Muslim brothers. But the first thing that you have to start giving money to is your parents. Help them first. And like I said, he is the malik of the tilk of all the amwal, which entitles him already. He is entitled to use the money of the son without taking permission from the son. And no son can say, well, this is my money. No. Your money, it is your money, but he has the right. He is the owner of all of your money as well, because he is your father. And in the time of the Prophet, we find an old man came to Prophet and complained to him that my son is a quite rich man. He has lots of money, but he doesn't take care of me. And not just doesn't take care of me, I demanded him to help me, but he did not help. And I am poor, I am muhtaj, I am deserving. Look at these extremes in the society. On one side, Allah has allowed the father, he can take the money of his son without taking his permission. And we find what's going on in the society sometimes is that the son is not even ready to help the father when he's deserving. Even though if he's not deserving, he's supposed to help. So Prophet called the son to be brought, and the son was brought in the presence of Prophet, and Prophet asked him about this situation, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have no money. He lied to the Prophet, plainly. I have no money, I am very poor. I can't help. How can I help when I don't have? And Prophet said to him, there are people around who are ready to tell lies to the Prophets and Imams. forgetting that they have the comprehensive knowledge of each and everything. Ilmu ma kan, ilmu ma yakun, and ilmu ma huwa ka'in. Knowledge of all that happened, and of all that will happen, and all that is happening. Such a comprehensive knowledge, because they were there before the creation of the universe. Some of the riwayat say that the knee of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt was created 14,000 years before the creation of this world, of the universe. 14,000 years, and Allah knows better, these 14,000 years are the years of this life, which have 12 months, or these are the years of that world, which one day equals to يَوْمٌ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ. One day is equal on the Day of Judgment. One day is equal to 50,000 years of this life. Allah knows those 14,000 years are the years of those days, that place or this place. Who knows? 14,000 years, nothing was there when they were created. So there are people who are ready to lie before them. And they are not less in number. There are lots of people who are lying right now before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is present and watching. And every day our amal are taken to him. Because the riwayat says that تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ أَبْرَارِهَا وَفُجَّارِهَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. All the acts of the people are presented, taken and presented before the Holy Prophet, whether the good people or the bad people, everybody. Kulla sabahin ala Rasulullah. Every morning of the day, it's presented to the Holy Prophet. And right now it's presented, which we can understand, it's presented to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And some of the riwayats tell us that if Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he sees the bad acts performed, he becomes sad, hazin, sorrowful. And when he finds that some mu'min has performed good act, he prays for that moment. So we are included in the praise of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the prayers if we perform good acts. It's really hard. It's really hard for a person to have the comprehensive knowledge, know everything, and still you find people coming and lying and doing all that evil stuff in his presence. And he is the supreme ruler appointed by Allah. Like, let's suppose this is in this premises you fix a camera and you are sitting in the surveillance room and watching all those people who are passing by, and you find people passing by here, somebody knows about Allah stealing this thing and that thing, and you know, like the shoplifting thing goes on, and you are there watching in your room with the camera, you are seeing people doing the bad stuff, and you have the power to grab them and punish them then and there. You know, you see, you watch them doing. It's hard to be patient. It's really hard to be patient. Because we find in certain riwayat that Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was once taken to the first heaven by Allah. And Allah commanded the curtains to be removed before his eyes, and he saw the earth, and there were two people committing an evil sin. And Prophet Ibrahim saw the situation. And he could not be patient. He could not tolerate. And he cursed those two people and they died. Because the dua of a masoom is never rejected. And then he was taken by Allah to the second heaven. And again, Allah riwayat says, Allah removed the curtains, and he saw two people committing a sin, and he could not stand it. it's hard for a Masoom Prophet to find people after all those guidances and books and ayat and signs and evidences sent to the humans to realize and open the eyes, but they are not ready to heed to all these warnings. He again cursed those two people and they died immediately. And he was taken to the third heaven, and again Allah removed the curtains, and again he saw, and he did the same, and the other two people died similarly. And Allah said to Prophet Ibrahim that you could not narrate about these servants of mine doing the sins, you could not stand it. Isn't it a matter for us to realize how wasi' al-zarf and patient our Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is, that he's watching everything, every single and minutest thing done by the people in his government. He has the government over the whole world, over the whole universe, appointed by Allah. He has a supreme walayat and government. But he still, if he just wills by heart, wishes by his heart, not need to say or curse, if he just wishes by his heart, the whole bunch of sinners would be killed. Just one wish, an iradatu takweeniyya, is enough. But he does not do that. And if it comes to us, I'm sure people like us would never ever be able to tolerate these situations. We will be very rough and very arrogant if we finally command somebody to do something and he does not obey. Maybe we can give him several warnings, but after that we won't stand it. We will take action. And if only Allah was such, and Imam Ghazali was such, then if he used to do things, he would have held us accountable and punished us then and there. Like, okay, you did this, you looked towards the non-Muslim with lust, now onwards you would be blind. If you were subjected to punishments like the previous ummahs were subjected straight away over their sins, like the Bani Israel and others, Qawm of Lut, Qawm of Samud, Qawm of Ad, Quran is full. It's a privilege given to our ummah, the ummah of the Holy Prophet. Ma kana Allahu, Quran says, Ma kana Allahu liyu'adzibahum wa anta fihim. Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are in them. And right now it's the deputy of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, who is among us. And that is why, that is one of the major reasons why we are not punished straight away over our sins. If you listen to your rebuke, you have become deaf from your right ear. He could have done that, and we could have challenged his decision, and we could not have done anything against Allah. Can we do some harm to Allah if he does that? No. If you talk, if you slander somebody, if you do backbiting, if you do anything wrong with your tongue, the biggest number of times sins performed by somebody is through his tongue. That's why our ulama of akhlaq, they focus so much on the matter of tongue. Don't do the sins related to your tongue. Our ulama of akhlaq have almost calculated the sins performed by tongue to be almost close to 47 or 46 sins that a human performs or may perform with his tongue. Let's suppose people used to do sins with the tongue and they become dumb, they couldn't speak. This was one of the options in their control. They had the power to implement and punish, but they did not. So let's take the advantage from the barakat of Imam al-Zamana among us that we are not punished straight away over our sins, although he has every power to do so. And open the eyes, because when he arrives nobody can repent. That's it. It's a different story. It's different than the 11 Imams. Because his own Tawqi al-Mubarak, one of his saints that he has sent to those four, to one of those four specific Na'ib al-Khas, those deputies of his in the lesser absence period, he wrote, فَإِنَّ أَمْرَنَا بَغْتَةً فُجْعَ حِينَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ تَوْبَةً. Our appeal, Salam al Zamanah, is saying in that saying, in that writing, that our appearance is all of a sudden. فَإِنَّ أَمْرَنَا بَغْتَةً فُجْعَةً. All of a sudden. حِينَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ تَوْبَةً. That the tawbah and repentance of nobody at that time would be beneficial for him. Whosoever wants to do tawbah, he should do it before the time of appearance. Once he appears, it's done. Now you cannot get back. Enough is enough. You've got to open the eyes before he appears. And that is why all the scholars who Prophet have said, Al-Ulama'u Warathatul Anbiya, scholars are the inheritors of the Prophets. They are working so hard to fulfill the hujjat of Allah over everybody, to inform them, provide knowledge. Now after you see the knowledge, whether you do good or you do bad, it's up to you. That's what Allah wants you to be, how to be. You receive the knowledge, now you want to tread the path of haqq. After you see the knowledge, fine. If you don't want to tread the path of haqq, you want to go towards evil, it's up to you. But tomorrow you cannot complain, nobody taught us about the right path. That's what Allah wants, to fulfill the hujjah, so that nobody can complain on the Day of Judgment. It's Ma'amul Hujjah, before the appearance time. And what I was telling you is that the father came and complained to the Prophet that my son is rich and I am muhtaj and deserving, but he's, and I asked him to help me, but he still doesn't help me. And Prophet called the son, and son lied before the Prophet by saying, well, I don't have money. How can I help? I am a poor person. Shameful response. And Prophet said, the solution that he gave to the son is that I can take care. I would give 1 month expenses from my behalf to your father, and the next month expenses are on you. That was the decision done by the Prophet for him, for the son. Then Prophet said his statement and he went away, and Prophet gave the money to the father, and after the month expired and father came to the son to get the money for the next month, he still refused, and father came back again to the Prophet and again complained that, Ya Rasulullah, the money you gave, I used up for that month, now the next month arrived and he still did not help me. And Prophet again asked him to come, and the son was brought, and he again lied to the Prophet, I don't have. And here, see, when they fulfill the hujjah on you, then nobody has any excuse why I am punished. Because the hujjah is done. You were supposed to open the eyes before that. Now, what the Prophet said is that today, the night shall not arrive except that you would become more muhtaj than your father. The night of this day shall not arrive except that you would become more muhtaj than your father. That means before the sunset, he lost all of his money. And that was the, in other words, the curse of the Holy Prophet. And people disbelieve in these things. Salawat. So, brothers and sisters, the matter of Aq, one of the situations how a person can become aq of his parents is that they ask you to give, to help, but you are still not ready to help. That entitles you to become aq. And the same thing, you remember that hadith which I was telling you last night, and we have several other hadith similar to that as well. The hadith about the mother that I was telling you, which I could not fulfill, I could not complete, that when somebody said to the Prophet that I have a mother and I take care of her and I feed her with my money and my own earnings and I take care of her and everything, and فَهَلْ تَعْفَأْتُهَا, did I fulfill my duty towards her? And Prophet said no, because لَأَنَّ بَطْنَهَا كَانَ لَكَ ذُعَاءً, because her womb was a place of your residence, you used to live inside her. وَصَدْيَهَا كَانَ لَكَ سِقَاءً وَرِجْلَهَا كَانَ لَكَ خَدَاءً, and she used to breastfeed you, and her feet was a place of your walking, you used to walk over her feet, in other words. And that the hijraha, and her lap was a place for you to relax. Maybe she was tired, but you used to relax in her lap. How can you compare your amal with her services to you? And then Prophet said that وَكَانَتْ تَصْنَعُ, that's the beautiful part of the hadith. وَكَانَتْ تَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ, and she used to perform all those services for you. وَهِيَ تُمَنِّي حَيَاتَكَ, and she had a wish in her heart that may Allah give you longer life and safeguard you. وَأَنْتَ تَصْنَعُ هَذَا بِهَا, whereas you perform all the services towards your mother, وَأَنْتَ, and you in your heart have the wish that may my mother die quickly so that I get rid of her as soon as possible. How can you compare your services to her services? And the similar, another riwayat where somebody said, well, I helped my father, similar kind of situation, somebody said to the Prophet that I helped my father, I take him to the washroom, he's an old man, he couldn't walk and stuff, and is it sufficient for me, I did my job to him, and Prophet said the same. Well, he used to do the same thing for you when you were old, what's new? What big deal? It's not a big deal that you did something new. You did the same. He also used to take you to the washroom. Plus, when he used to take you to the washroom and serve you in your childhood, he had this wish in his heart. May Allah give you long life and safeguard you and keep you safe. But in your heart you have this thing that may he dies quickly so that I get rid of my father, I am fed up with all that. That's the feeling in your heart about him. How can you compare your services with his or her services? Imam Rida alayhi salam says, see the sin, like our scholars of akhlaq have said, causes just like any a formula of mathematics that can never change, a formula of philosophy can never ever change by the pass of time. Those are logical sets of rules that never change. Similarly, a sin makes a person humiliated in this world before the eyes of the people, plus certainly before Allah and his representatives. Whenever we do a sin, we become humiliated. That is true. A sin causes humiliation. And that's a law. That's how it goes. And that's how it's true. Without any change in that law, it is true and valid for all the times. And Allah al-Islam says about Prophet Yusuf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the entire Israelis of the people of Egypt as slaves of Prophet Yusuf, because Prophet Yusuf became, he was an abd and slave of Allah. Since he did the abdiyat and served Allah, that is why Allah made the entire nation of Egypt to be his slave. The same people who came to buy the Prophet. It's not without a reason that the story of Prophet Yusuf is called by Quran as Ahsan al-Qasas, best of the stories. It's the best of the stories. If time permits, it's a very nice idea to just talk about the beautiful points that this story and lessons that this story of Prophet Yusuf has. It has so many lessons to learn. So many lessons. When the Prophet was left in that well, and then somebody took Prophet Yusuf out of that well and brought to Egypt and sold Prophet Yusuf. It is in the history that he was sold for about 13 or 14 dirhams. A prophet of Allah, this is the value of a prophet in the eyes of the Yahud. Selling the prophet of Allah for 14 dirhams. This is the value of an infallible prophet. Those who are the killers of more than 70 Anbiya in the history. Rated number one murderers of Anbiya. Trying to teach us civilization. So, they sold the prophet of their time for 14 dirhams.
Excuse me.
And prophet was then brought, and the long story short that he was sent into the jail, and somebody, the ruler of the Egypt in those days saw that dream that there were seven fat cows and seven thin and weak cows, and the seven fat cows eat up the seven skinny cows. Then he couldn't understand what is the meaning of that dream, and he asked the people if somebody can tell the meaning, and there was a person in his palace who said, well, I know somebody who is in your jail who can tell the meaning of that dream, and that's how Prophet Yusuf was brought out, and he told the meaning of that dream, that there shall be 7 years of abundance of the growth in wheat in this country, in your country. 7 years to come will have lots of wheat. Because, you know, in other words, the Bani Israel used to israf so much in their food, in their luxuries. So much israf. Sometimes Allah teaches lessons through His punishments. Because if you don't understand to stop israf and not to waste the food, the ni'mat, if you don't take care of the ni'mat, it will be taken away. The ni'mat would be taken away if you don't take care of it. And Prophet said, because when Israel used to do so much israf in the food and waste their food, which is haram in Islam, and the Prophet said that 7 years in the future you would be having lots of growth of wheat, and the next 7 years there shall be no growth of wheat in the whole country. So what you are supposed to do if you want to live and survive, you have to safeguard the same wheat that grows in these coming 7 years. And how you can safeguard for the next 7 years, that you keep them within that skin or cover, the natural cover of that grain of wheat, keep it within its natural covering, and bury it in the soil. And just use that much amount of wheat in these coming 7 years, as much as you need it. Don't waste the food. And bury the rest of the wheat in the soil, in like that, along with the covering, so that you can utilize that wheat for the coming next 7 years, where there shall be no plantation, no growth, so that you can survive. But again, Bani Israel never ever accepted the teachings of their own prophets, and likewise they again used to do the same israf even through those 7 years. But then Prophet Yusuf, during the same years he became the ruler of Egypt, he was safeguarding the growth of those wheat grains in the soil. Now our history says that the same Bani Israel who bought Prophet Yusuf for 40 dirhams, the same Bani Israel used to come and buy the wheat from Prophet Yusuf, who is the ruler of the same country where he was sold as a slave, ruling over his buyers. This is the sunnah of Allah. The slave is ruling over those who are the buyers of that slave. And now they are the ones who have to buy wheat from the ruler who safeguarded the wheat. And in the first year, history says they used to pay money to buy the wheat from Prophet. And the second year, they gave away all of their jewelries. On the third year, all the belongings of their homes. And likewise, they want to give something every year. And the sixth year, they had nothing to give in place of, you know, buying that wheat from Prophet Yusuf. So they just gave away their houses as mortgage to the Prophet Yusuf. And on the seventh year, they didn't even have the houses to give because they all gave. Now in the seventh year, they asked the Prophet Yusuf to make us their slaves, but at least feed us the grain so that we can live. So the entire nation, Imam Raza alayhi salam says in his hadith, entire nation of Bani Israel in Egypt became slaves of Prophet Yusuf. The entire nation, because he was an abd of Allah, he did his service to Allah. And it's a real pity for people who keep on doing the sins towards the parents, become an ark out of disobedience towards the parents, and all the rest of the sins as well. And don't realize, because we have a riwayat in which we find that when a person reaches the age of 40, and he still keeps on doing sins, does not realize. Satan comes and rubs his hand over the face of the person and says, بِأَبِي وَجْهٌ لَا يُفْلِحْ. بِأَبِي وَجْهٌ لَا يُفْلِحْ. May my father be sacrificed on you, because you are a faith who would never succeed. You reach the age of 40, but you are still not ready to repent, to think about your akhirah, to stop doing the sins. How far you want to go with the sins? When would the day arrive that you would stop doing the sins and violating the law of your Creator? When? You need another 124,000 prophets to arrive? When? And even though another 124,000 arrive, those who don't want to accept will not accept. Somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that people sometimes perform sins once only in their life, but Allah will subject them into the hell forever. Why is that so? Well, he killed a person once, and he would stay in the hell forever. Why? He would get the punishment and come out. Or any other sin, we did not mention that example, I am giving that example. The person just asking you why sometimes you tell people have done sins once in their life, but because of their one sin they would be sent to their hell. And Imam said, إِنَّمَا خُلَّ. That's a beautiful hadith. Although every hadith is beautiful. He said, Imam says that إِنَّمَا خُلَّ أَهْلُ النَّارِ. It's an eye-opener for us. إِنَّمَا خُلِّدَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي النَّارِ. لأن نيتهم كانت why the people of the hellfire would be you know subjected to the punishment in the hell forever because their niyat and intention was such that even if they were given another chance they would have performed the similar thing again and again and again. That's what the niyat was. And إِنَّمَا خُلَّدَ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ and the way he would be remaining in the paradise forever will remain there forever because their niyat was such that if they were given another life, another chance, they would still do the similar good deeds for the service of Allah. So فَبِنِيَّاتٍ Imam Sadiq al-Islam said فَبِنِيَّاتٍ خُلَّدَ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ So out of their niyat and intentions Allah will put them in the hell of heaven forever. That's the niyat. Prophet said, Iyyakum wal-uquq. Be warned. Don't become aq of your parents. It's a warning from Prophet. Iyyakum wal-uquq. Why? What's the wisdom? Why should we abstain? Why should I not disobey my parents and why should I always help my parents and never even say if or any word of distress before them? Why? Prophet said, فَإِنَّ رِيحَ الْجَنَّةِ تُوْجَدُ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ أَلْفِ عَامٍ Because the smell of the paradise can be smelled from the travel and distance of 1,000 years of traveling. If you travel for 1,000 years, how much distance you may travel? The smell of paradise, Prophet says, reaches the distance of travel of 1,000 years. But there are some categories of people, some categories of sinners, who will still not be able to even smell the paradise. That means even they will be so far away from the paradise that the smell of paradise will also not reach their nose. They will be so far. How can they imagine of seeing or entering into the paradise? It's out of question. They cannot even smell the smell of paradise. And the Prophet said, "For Mariha al-Jannata, the Jannata teaches in Nasirata al-Fi'am. It reaches so far, it has such a strong smell that it reaches so far away which is a distance of traveling for 1,000 years. It travels for 1,000 years and that's the reach of the smell of paradise. But still those sinners will not, some of those categories will not be able to even smell it. Who are those few categories? He said that وَلَا يَجِدُهَا But وَلَا يَجِدُهَا أَقْن And the person who is aq of his walidain can never smell the smell of paradise. And we find that the sins that we have been, that we perform, that is why our, the age of 40 which I was mentioning to you is taken out of riwayat, and some riwayat, Ahlul Bayt al-Ansar themselves have been mentioning the age of 40. It is the ripe age for a person to realize that now he must get prepared for the day of Akhirat, for his departure, now that he reaches the age of 40 and stop doing sins. And in certain riwayat, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels, the munkir, the kiram al-katibin, who are obliged to write down our good and bad acts. Allah commands them The Rabbi says, غَلَّذَا وَشَدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ. The person has reached the age of 40, but he still did not realize and still did not stop doing sins. Allah commands those two angels, غَلَّذَا وَشَدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ. Have strict behavior, be strict and harsh towards him. He reached the age of 40, but he is still not ready to realize. And the first category of people who could not smell the smell of paradise are those who are the ark of their parents. And the second category, Prophet says, وَشَيْخٌ زَانٍ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, an old elderly man who commits zina. He can never smell the smell of paradise. He reached the age, he becomes an elderly man, but he's still doing such a sin. He cannot even smell the smell of paradise. وَشَيْخٌ زَانٍ. And he says, وَجَارُ اِذَارِهِ خُيَلَا. Those who wear such long dresses that drag on the soil out of arrogance. It is strictly condemned in Islam to wear such long dresses that drag on the soil when you walk. Islamically, in the eyes of Allah, it shows your arrogance and takabbur. It's a sign of takabbur, and Allah does not tolerate takabbur in any form. Prophet said, those who wear dresses that drag on the soil, they cannot smell the smell of paradise. Well, وَجَارُ إِذَارِهِ خُيَلَا. So, these are certain sins which entitle a person not to smell the smell of paradise. And there is salawat. Imam Ali alayhi salam was once passing, was once going along with Imam Hassan alayhi salam to Hajj, and as he was close to Mecca, he heard a voice of somebody crying with a very, with so much dirt and sores. And Imam Ali asked his son, Imam Hassan, to go and find who is this, who is crying right now in the middle of the night like that. And Imam Hassan went there and searched, and he found that there was a young boy, young man, who was crying, and he was disabled with both of his legs. And Imam Hassan went and told him that Amir al-Mu'mineen is calling you. So do the ijabat, do labbaik, I mean, respond to the call of your Amir. So go and see him. And he was brought to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and he asked him, why are you crying like this in the middle of the night? Why are you crying? And he said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the problem is that I had a father, and whenever I used to do sins, he used to advise me and stop me. And once that I didn't accept his warnings, and once he cursed me, I already told you 2-3 days back the hadith from the Prophet that Iyyakum wa da'wat al-walid, beware, be warned of the curse of the father, because it's really, really, it's a job, it is certainly mustajab, it's never rejected by Allah. Never, maybe after some period of time, but it would be accepted certainly. So he said that I committed sins one after the other. He used to stop me, I never used to listen, and once he cursed, that may Allah break your feet. And the next day I got a stroke, and I I'm unable to walk with both of my feet. They are paralyzed, totally. Then I went back to my father and did tawbah, and I seek apology from my father. And he said, okay, now that you apologize, okay, let's go and to Mecca, and I will pray for you, pray to Allah to, you know, to cure you in Mecca. Because it's really important where you pray and when you pray and how you pray and what you say when you pray. And what is your spiritual situation when you pray? Prayers is a very, very interesting subject. Maybe sometime it deserves that the whole ashra should be recited, and just the adab and shara'it of and the etiquettes of dua. It's so important and interesting subject of Islam. So where you pray is really important. It's really important, although Allah can listen to you anywhere, but some places have special impact on your on you. So one of the places which is the holiest in fact of all is Kaaba, and Father said, I'll take you, let's go to Kaaba and I'll pray for you there. But what happened? I was traveling with my father, he died in the middle, and I buried him, and now I'm left alone and there's nobody for to pray for me. And Amir Mumineen Islam said that because your father said that let's go and I will pray for you in Mecca, it shows that he was ravi and agreed and pleased with you and he was ready to pray for you. So since he became ravi, so now I will pray for you. See, we can understand that even if the father is not ravi and pleased, even the imams are not ready to take this charge of this affair in their hands. But since your father is pleased, so now I will pray for you. So what he did, that Amir Mumin just rubbed his hand over the feet of that young man and he got cured immediately. Salawat. And then Amir Mumin turned to the people around him and said, that take a lesson out of it. Take a lesson, get ibrat out of it. Let's not repeat the same things that have already happened to the previous people. And since the du'as require, like I said, several things, where you pray and how you pray and those shara'it. A person, whenever he used to do a sin, he used to come to the Holy Prophet and seek apology from him, and Prophet used to forgive him. Prophet used to forgive him always. But the person says, he himself narrates this riwayat, that once I did, always I used to do sins and then used to repent and go and see the Prophet and he used to forgive me. But once I did really big sin and I felt so bad from inside, because, you know, sins are all the sins, whatever you may imagine, every sin has just few moments, a few minutes of lazzat for a person, not more than that. So he said that I felt so repented, and after that when I went to see the Prophet, he said, go away. He did not even accept me in his presence. Let's not do sins that our Imam Mahdi salam says to us, go away. Because once they say go away, nobody can dare accept your apology. Because they are he's the representative of Allah. So that's the limit. So he said, I went to see the Prophet and he said, go away. And I was so sad.
And why did I do that sin? It's too much. And on my way back, as I was getting back on walking in that alley, I found Hassan and Hussein. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, two young kids walking in the alley. As soon as I saw them, I grabbed both of the children in my lap and I made them sit over my shoulders. And I returned to see the Prophet again. I returned to see the Prophet again by holding Hassan and Hussein over my shoulders. And when I came to see the Prophet, I said that إِنِّي أَسْتَجِيرُ بِاللَّهِ وَإِنِّي أَسْتَجِيرُ إِلَيْكَ بِاللَّهِ وَبِهِمَا. That I seek your apology. I seek your apology through these two grandsons of yours, through Hassan and Hussein. And Prophet forgave me immediately. Who knows what is the position of Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam in the eyes of Allah and the Prophet. And we find that Prophet used to, when the Imam Hussein was delivered and given in the hands of Prophet, he started crying. And when somebody asked him, there are several riwayat narrated in different books from different aspects, the same story. Somebody asked the Prophet that, why are you crying? And he said that this son of mine would be killed thirsty in the fire of Karbala without any taqseer, without any jurm, without any sin, without any khata, without any mistake. He's so beloved to the Holy Prophet. And we find in the riwayat that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when it was the final time of his departure, he gave the hand of everybody into the hand of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the hand of Hazrat Zainab, Hazrat Umm Kulthum. Everybody was given into the hands of Imam Hassan, but he did not give the hand of Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas in the hands of Imam Hassan. And as his mother, Umm al-Baneen, came close and she asked Amir al-Mu'mineen that, why is there any fault or mistake done by my son Abul Fadl Abbas that he did not give his hand into the hands of Hassan al-Ghali? And he said, no, that is not the case. He asked Imam Hussein to come closer and he gave the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas into the hand of Imam Hussein, that Abbas, I would not be there in Karbala, but you have to take care of Hussein ibn Ali. You have to be a na'ib and representative of Imam Ali in Karbala. And Abul Fadl Abbas did his job so nice. A sha'ir says, one of the very famous sha'ira in Arabic, he wrote a verse, a shi'r, a piece of poetry about Abul Fadl Abbas, and in this poetry he wrote that Yawmin Abul Fadl Istajar al-Huda, the day of Ashura was such a day that Abul Fadl Abbas gave refuge to Hussein ibn Ali. Imam Hussein seek refuge before Abul Fadl Abbas. But after writing this shi'r, he thought, no, it is wrong. In fact, a ma'soom can never seek refuge to a non-ma'soom. And he cut that shi'r, cut off on the paper. And then, in the same night, he says, I saw the dream, and I saw Imam Hussein coming in my dream. And he said that, why did you cut that share? Why did you cut that share of yours? It is true that I seek refuge to Abul Fadl Abbas on the day of Ashura. Yes, I took refuge to Abul Fadl Abbas. Everybody's heard of Abul Fadl Abbas, including Hazrat Zainab, that when Abul Fadl Abbas came to see Hazrat Zainab for the last time, you know, she used to think that maybe the person, a sister, having such a son, such a brother, like Abul Fadl Abbas, how out there from the enemies with the ropes in the hands of Hazrat Zainab, then she had such a courageous brother like Ibn Fadl Abbas. But now that Abbas is leaving, Zainab realized that now I can understand easily why I could be made a captive and my hand would be tied up with the ropes. And Hazrat Zainab made a captive and taken from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Sham. And just once the little story, and I was with one at a time, that as this caravan was passing through the streets of Kufa, we find that the women in Kufa, they started giving the gifts of zakat, the gifts of sadaqat to the bibi, to the caravan, to Hazrat Zainab and Umm Kulthum and Hazrat Sakina. And as soon as Hazrat Umm Kulthum saw, he just took the dates away from the hands of Hazrat Sakina and put it away. And Umm Habiba, she said that why are you taking it away? And Hazrat Zainab said, well, because the sadaqah is haram on us Ahlul Bayt, we cannot. It is in fact the base of nazar that I did the nazar to Allah.
And that is why I am giving you the date. Okay, what was your nazar? And she said, I did the nazar that may Allah make me go to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. And the ziyarat of my
lady Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab said, Umm Habiba, you did not recognize. In fact, there is no need for you to go to Karbala. Because the Zainab has arrived before you. And Umm Habiba said, where is my Zainab? And she said, well, here I am. I'm here. And she said that my Zainab has a sign, has an alamat. She never used to be separated from her brother, Hussein ibn Ali. And Hazrat Zainab pointed towards the head of Imam Hussein, over the spear, over the nida. And he said, well, that is the head of Hussein ibn Ali. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah.
أنا رأيت الله وقوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أن المقربين مقربون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Please read next سورة الفاتحة for سيد آل حسن ابن سيد ابن حسن. And one more Surah Al-Fatiha. One of the mu'mineen has passed, Mirza Basharat Ali Beg. So please not forget to read the Namaz of Rahshat for him tonight. Mirza Basharat Ali Beg. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بار الله قاتم الإسلام كسر بلند فرما قاتم الكفر والنفاق كسر نقول فرما انقلاب الإسلامي كي حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانيين تمام مراجع كرام بالخصوص رهبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں کے برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد سے رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مؤمنین کی مشہور حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مؤمنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما با الہ ہم سب تک اس دنیا سے